Cape Grim, Tasmania's west coast. It has some of the cleanest air in the world, but data released by a CSIRO air pollution monitoring station on the tip of that cape, it's sending a warning signal to scientists. Carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere keep increasing at an unusual rate. Now, that's despite the fact that, well, people, as we are trying to do, are pumping less carbon into the air. Ilko Rolling is Professor of Ocean and Climate Change at Australian National University. Professor, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
What is the Cape Grim Baseline Station measuring?
So basically what they are measuring is the concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And so what we need is, you know, the most famous station for doing that is on Mauna Loa in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of stations around the world, but not nearly enough to be able to pick up where the CO2 is exactly emitted and taken up. So we need a more global coverage for that, which is partly behind the mystery of this fast rise that we're seeing at the moment.
So if we have more stations, we can start to pin down the greater sources of CO2 around the world.
Well, the sources of CO2 are not much of a mystery. They're the big industrialized areas, of course, but you know the subtleties, especially about what nature does with the CO2. You know, more or less 40% of our emissions has gone into the oceans over time. The oceans are basically not always going to be taking up at that rate. If they start taking up less, that means that the CO2 concentrations are going to go up faster for the same emissions.
What's so special about the air going past Cape Grim?
It's very clean, and it is basically it's in the Southern Ocean, which is a very important place for CO2 emissions from the ocean, so venting from the ocean. In some places, the ocean takes up CO2. In other places, CO2 comes out. And so effectively, very slowly, the oceans have been taken up carbon in natural cycles. And then as we started to increase the concentrations in the atmosphere much faster, the ocean has kept pace. And that's one of the concerns, is that maybe the ocean is not going to keep pace anymore, and that would make the CO2 rise go even quicker.
So what are we seeing in the last couple of years? What are the figures from Cape Grim?
The figures that you're seeing at the moment is that we are increasing by about 3 parts per million per year now, whereas the normal rate of rise over the last decade would have been around about 2. And it's really shot up. Sometimes you can explain that by looking at processes like El Nino, which makes, you know, it causes a lot of wetness in some places, but in the tropics net, the signal is a drying. That sort of helps with less carbon dioxide uptake by the plants in the tropics, and that will give you an overshoot. But this time we see that the annual rate of rise of CO2 has been going up even in the non-El Nino years, and that's really concerning.
Whatever you did with your phone just then, Professor, don't change a thing, because it's suddenly become very clear.
Okay.
I wonder, the phenomenon you mentioned of these natural sponges, our oceans, that have been absorbing carbon dioxide, I mean, the potential there that those oceans are now saturated?
They're not really saturated. It is a game of a very fine balance. And so for example, we're looking at CO2 going into the atmosphere at about 102 billion tons per year and coming out at about 100 billion tons a year. So if you slightly change that balance around, then your atmospheric CO2 is going to have a big impact. It's going to have a big impact on your atmospheric CO2. Now, I'm not saying that this is definitely part of what's happening in the oceans, but the oceans are some around the most difficult to measure parts of the world for these gas exchanges. And so my feeling is that the land sources and the land sinks we have a better grip on than the ocean sources and sinks. Cape Grim helps with that, of course, being in the Southern Ocean.
The oceans have been warming steadily, and all these things are interrelated, of course. I mean, does that warming potentially caused by greater concentrations of CO2 in the atmosphere then in turn diminish the ocean's capacity to absorb the CO2?
Yep. So basically, warmer water can hold less CO2. So if the oceans are warming gradually, then the oceans are going to be able to take up less CO2 at the air-sea exchange. Another issue that comes into play is the rate of deep ocean circulation. A lot of the deep ocean circulation is driven in the North Atlantic. It's slowing down, and that slowing down is very likely related to the fact that the Greenland melt has gone up, so we're putting fresher water into the surface of the North Atlantic. So what we then start to see is that the deep ocean takes up less CO2. As a result, more of it stays in the atmosphere, and the atmospheric values are going up without our emissions changing.
We seem to be on the wrong track, Professor.
Yeah, this is all the great natural feedbacks. This is the Earth system showing us what it can do. It is basically the Earth system feedbacks is what we really want to stay away from. And this is what the climate scientists have been shouting for 10, 20 years now, is that we're forcing the climate system now, but eventually the Earth system feedbacks that have always governed the natural variability are going to wake up. And they're slow processes. It takes time to get them to wake up. Maybe this is a strong sign now that we've actually done that.
On a scale of 1 to 10, on the activation of those feedback systems, I mean, where are we from 1 to 10?
Well, the activation is, these are relatively slow processes. They take a century, maybe two centuries to really get going. Of course, we've been playing with the climate now in a big way since about 1850. So we're in that window, and we're seeing, you may have seen in the on the internet and in the news, these big holes opening up in Siberia as the permafrost is decreasing. Is gas developing in lakes where it's escaped from the permafrost? There's bubble plumes coming from the sea floor where the warmer water is melting ice. And so all of these things are, and that's methane, by the way, those things.
Mm.
And all of these things are going to now come into play, and none of them is going in the right direction for us. They're all leading to more warming.
We should be, I suspect, in short, Professor, concerned.
We should be very concerned because we have only a very limited time window to shut them down again. If, this is why in the climate science community there's been such urgency, because we wanted to make sure we wouldn't activate the melting of the ice sheets, the methane releases, and these sort of CO2 exchange processes. Because once they are going, they're like big freight trains. They're almost impossible to stop.
Impossible to stop. Look, Professor, thank you. Well, always a timely warning, and one wonders how many we will need. Professor Ilko Rolling, Professor of Ocean and Climate Change at ANU. This is RN Drive. I'm Jonathan Green, and next for you, The Drawing Room.